This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 272. We are live from the Microsoft Ignite Conference in Orlando, Florida, 2018.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show again, man.
Excellent to be here.
Is this the third year we've done this live show?
Third year, I think. Fourth Ignite, right?
Fourth Ignite, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. This is the biggest yet as well. I think 30,000 odd people here. Yeah. Huge expo hall that direction.
Yeah.
This is wild.
It is. I just had a friend tweet me a minute ago, and he was like, what, you're here? Are you like hiding from everybody? I'm like, no, you didn't see me among the other 26,000 people. I mean, how did you miss me?
I joke to a friend, you run into everybody you don't expect to see, and you never see people you want to see.
I just ran into like two or three friends before we did this. I'm like, how did you miss me? Like, I have no idea. Like, the shiny forehead didn't get you?
Yeah.
Didn't do the makeup beforehand. That might have been a mistake.
Yeah, a little bit shiny. Watch out for those lights.
Hey, what do you think about the show so far?
Really good. We obviously spent some time talking about the keynotes earlier in the week, just a sort of quick recap.
Yep.
But some of the other things going on. I love walking the halls. I love walking the expo, seeing all the new partners that are around and showing off their wares, their new products, their new services and things.
Yep.
I love seeing what people will do for swag.
Oh my God, yes.
It's amazing. It's awesome. Speaking of which, we've got shirts over here if anybody wants one.
We do. We're styling the shirts right now.
Exactly.
We've got a bunch of them over here people can go ahead and grab. We will be doing another one of these shows same time tomorrow, and we will have a whole lot more t-shirts that, if my wife's tuning in, we promise we're not bringing any home. We want to make sure we distribute all of them. But yeah, it's been a good show so far. I mean, it really is. We're sitting here on Wednesday, 2 days in. I feel like I've been here for 2 weeks already.
Right? It does, yeah. The aircon is getting me, but my feet are still on, which we're in good shape.
Yeah, we're in a good spot, though, because we have the heat from the lights today, so it's not as cold
it's like
in here.
Being outside.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't have to sit there and bundle up.
Yeah, so I'm preparing for a session tomorrow that I'm doing on AKS, the Kubernetes service in Azure.
Yep.
So that should be really fun, lots of demos and talking through what we've done at Hyperfish on building for Kubernetes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the live show tomorrow afternoon as well. So still plenty in store for us.
The show's not over.
No rest for the wicked, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. But I tell you, you know, today, I'm excited about today.
Absolutely.
So this is a topic that's near and dear to us. I mean, we talk a lot about it, quite a bit. And I mean, I think, you know, we absolutely lucked out to have a really special guest join us today. So
yes.
What do you think?
It's amazing what Twitter can arrange sometimes.
Right? Yeah, I might have almost got myself in a little bit of trouble too.
It's
a bit of a funny story. Yeah.
Are you being asked repeatedly to integrate different business systems in ever narrower timeframes with increasing process complexity? What if you could standardize the way you build these business processes so your team are focused on higher value tasks versus the nuts and bolts of running the processes and integrations? Nintex can make that happen. With the Nintex platform, work flows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. Got a custom system you want to connect with? No code extensions let you plug into systems simply and easily using REST and Swagger. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever. Try it out for free for 30 days at www.nintex.com/trynwc. Struggling to reproduce problems in your code base? Successful software starts with Raygun. Raygun provides application performance monitoring unlike anything that you've experienced before, offering greater clarity around how your software is performing for your customers than any other APM provider. Easily detect and diagnose issues impacting end users and monitor every part of your stack in one place. It's time to get back to building great software instead of fighting it. Start your journey to better software quality and try Raygun for free at raygun.com today.
So, hey, what I want to do is I want to introduce and welcome Alex up to the show. So Alex Simons,
okay,
is a corporate vice president for program management in Azure and identity.
That's right.
Yeah. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
There was a bit of a funny way of how we were able to make this happen.
And the best Twitter conversation ever.
Yeah. I'm not so sure that I could have. I'm not as nimble, but apparently I was able to stick my foot all the way into my mouth and touch the back of my head.
It was a very impressive Twitter maneuver. I gotta say, it was a great joke, though. That feature's been in preview a long time. The whole team got a good chuckle out of it.
So what we did, we were joking around. Somebody else had posted something about how the Microsoft Authentication Library, MSAL, that we'll touch on a little bit later on in the show, and how it was there was a new preview that was released. And there was a little bit of a dialogue going back and forth in the community, and I kind of chimed in, and I'm like, I said something to the extent of, man, when is this thing going to be out of preview? Even the Gmail guys are going, man, this is a long preview.
Long preview.
And that's when you jumped in, and I'm like, oh, shoot.
I got someone's attention.
We'd love to have you on the show. Like, yeah, like, how about Ignite? How about a live show? Yes. I'm like, Wow, I didn't.
That worked awesome.
I didn't know that was gonna.
Yeah. No, so, I got to give you credit. It was a good joke. We enjoyed it. Yeah. So here I am.
Excellent. Well, thanks again.
Yeah, yeah. My pleasure.
So you guys are having quite a busy week. I sat down a couple hours ago to just make sure that I wasn't going to miss any of your announcements, and you had a blog post come out earlier today that was like, oh my God, this is a gold mine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a really exciting week. We've had 14, 15 sessions now and still more to go. I think my kickoff session, if you look at like the 75-minute sessions, I'm like the number two largest kickoff session in terms of attendance.
No kidding.
Yeah. So we had more than 4,000 people show up for the session and they had to turn people away at the door. I felt bad, but I was kind of like, wow. No. I had no idea identity was
bad.
So
it's
cool.
Like,
and just a ton of announcements. Yeah. Like the team has been working really hard to bring a bunch of new capabilities up, things that I've been excited to share with customers for a long time.
Right.
So it's been really fun to be here this week and be able to have all this new news and things that customers have been like, oh, that's what I'm waiting for.
Right.
Really the highlight of the year.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, one of the big things that you guys announced, and I guess it was a little bit kind of coming into it too, is the passwordless auth login for Azure AD.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. Look, passwords are bad. Like everybody hates passwords, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so if you think about it, they're hard to remember, mm-hmm. right? At least a complicated one, super hard to remember. You got to have 50 or 60 of them because you don't want to reuse them. Mm-hmm. That's a nightmare.
Passwords. You got to have a password manager.
Yeah, you got to have a password manager, and those don't really work well. You know, I mean, copy and paste, stuff like that doesn't always work. But hackers love them.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's no matter how hard a password you've created, I can fish it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And even the things that people think are hard are not that hard usually.
Right.
Like one of our services, our password manager service, you go through and you try to change your password and we block all the frequently used passwords.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy to look and see what people will put in, you know? So like if you've got a periodic password, like a lot of companies have a thing where they require people to change every 90 days or every 6 months.
Right.
And they require them to put in a complex password, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've done a whole bunch of research on this with Microsoft Research. So you can guarantee that if you have that kind of pattern, you've got October NFL 2018 exclamation point, right? Like that's people invent patterns to fit that get them past that because they can't remember a new password all the time.
Right.
So people use seasons and they use sporting events and things like that. And we see that in the password, you know, we see that in the body all the time. But the other thing that's fascinating is like a new song will come.
Yeah.
So like there'll be a new hit song comes out and all of a sudden we'll start seeing whatever the chorus line of that song is, whatever the keyword is, we'll start seeing that come up as one of the most frequently used passwords. So people are very predictable, right? So the thing is they think they're being clever. They're like, oh, I'm going to use a phrase from the new Beyonce song. No one will think of that.
Yeah.
And then all of us sitting back at Microsoft are like, oh, there's the new Beyonce song. It just hit it. And of course the hackers know that.
And you just look like, let it go.
Man. Just let it go. Right.
I had never thought about using what's going on in the football world to go guess people's passwords. I guess it makes complete sense.
People use sports team names all the time, the sport of the season, the new hit song. Every once in a while you see like we had one recently in the summer where, I won't say who, but a big restaurant chain in the U.S. ran a campaign. Like media blitz campaign for a new sandwich, and oh, the sandwich starts showing up.
Oh my gosh!
So it's very predictable what's going to happen, and the hackers know all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So when we see all of the hackers attacking, it's really obvious. Like they're using all those patterns, right? So that's why we built the service was to block people from using those.
So what you're saying is I shouldn't just put an extra exclamation on the end of Seahawks.
Yeah. No, that doesn't save you very much.
Okay.
And even character replacements and all that. The bad guys know.
Yeah.
All that stuff, right?
If you change the S to a 3 or 5 or dollar sign, they never figure that out.
Yeah.
No, they never figure that out.
Sometimes just double up.
They're dumb hackers. That'll stop the dumb hackers.
Losing passwords.
But so we got to get past that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we know for sure. We've done a whole bunch of research. We can see from all the signals we get. If we can get you to use any kind of multi-factor authentication, right, that's going to lower your risk of being hacked by about 99%. In fact, it looks like 99.9% decrease in the chance of getting hacked if you just use any kind of multi-factor auth. But the problem with most forms of multi-factor auth is it's kind of a janky user experience.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, I've got an oath token with a code on it, or I have to get out my phone and it texts me an other code that I type in. And so it's definitely more secure, but it's not easier to use.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's like a bad combination. Security that makes the user experience worse.
Yeah.
you have to do it because it's so bad, but we're looking for, okay, how do you get that really world-class security and a world-class simple user experience,
right?
And so that's why we've been investing so much in going passwordless. So obviously, for years now, you know, if you've been using Windows 10, you've been using Windows Hello. Like, that's our premier passwordless experience.
Right.
And what people don't know is that under the covers, that's like enterprise-grade security, right? Like, that's using the a public key, private key encryption model.
Right.
So the identity server sends a nonce to your device. The private key on the device, which is protected in the TPM, is used to sign the nonce and send it back. And then the identity server uses the public key to decode it and says, oh, obviously that's Alex.
Yeah.
Right? So it's really, it's a really strong proof that I am who I am, hidden behind that really cool, nice user experience, right?
Right, right.
So all we've done is we've taken that same pattern, and now we're using it for our passwordless with the Authenticator app. Right? So now you go to a screen to log in, you put in your username, and since you've signed up for passwordless, in fact, your admin probably signed you up for passwordless, all we do now is we just bump your phone. And on your phone, you've got that same thing. You're going to put down your thumb. You're going to release whatever. It's going to unlock whatever the secure element on the phone is.
Right.
There's a key there. We've generated a private key. We take the nonce. We sign the nonce. We send it back to the server. The server uses the public key, decrypts you, and then on your device lets you in.
It makes it so much easier. Especially with the new Apple Watch app that came out as well.
Oh, yeah. Super cool, right?
So nice. Yeah. That's great. It's one of my favorite features of the watch. It's just, this is why you want to watch. For texting.
For texting and for approving your logins, right?
Getting rid of those passwords would have been nice. It took about 5 or 6 tries to get into my Facebook account to be able to stream this to the live show.
So is that something administrators, you mentioned admins are probably going to turn on for you. Is that something an entire enterprise has to opt into, or can individual users set it up for themselves? How does that kind of work?
Yeah, well, so let me start and say it's been available on the Microsoft account system for over a year now, right? So if you haven't turned it on your Microsoft account, you're crazy. Go turn on the passwordless authenticator for Microsoft account and stop getting hacked.
Yeah.
Right, so that's the first piece. But then in the Azure AD case, right, so we've turned on the public preview. In public preview, we don't want anyone to go to production with that yet, right? It's just a preview.
Gotcha.
And so the capability right now is, look, turn it on for your whole test tenant so you can check it out and make sure it's working and send us bugs or things like that. But then when we go to the GA, yes, we'll give you the ability to set groups of users who are eligible to use it, right? And then the users will be able to choose which form of authentications they want to use. So you could choose to use passwordless and then go through the process of signing yourself up.
Or go like with the text and SMS text.
Yeah, if for some reason you like the other forms better and your admin is okay with it. Like, we want to get that balance where the administrator can say, these are the forms of strong auth that I'm okay with, and then the end user can pick the one that they prefer.
Oh, that's cool.
Really nice. And so any app that uses sort of that modern auth flow where you get the wee box that pops up and you put your username and password in, that'll just automatically update and you won't have to put your password in?
No, that's right. It's just the new version of the app, right? So you won't have to do anything. All the, but basically the way it looks, we should have brought a video, but the way it looks is you go to log in, we actually show you a number on the screen, right? And you have to match, the number comes up on the phone app, you have to match it. The reason we do that is to make sure that, because we've had some people do this, where they'll just approve a session.
Any old thing on the phone.
Any old thing on the phone, they just go yes. And it lets a hacker in who was on a, you know, who was in China trying to get in the back door.
Gotcha.
So by having the number match, we know that you had to see it on the screen. So it's really you.
Gotcha.
Right? So you put the number, you put your thumb down or Face ID if you're using an iPhone 10 or something like that, and boom, you're just logged in.
Gotcha. That'll be really nice. I've used it on my Microsoft account for quite a while.
And so you're going to see exactly the same experience there.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool. And you've done a bunch of other stuff too around MFA as well, around the multi-factor auth, which you had some of like the baseline policies that were, that came out.
We're basically, at this point, we're trying to do anything we can to protect everybody who uses either a Microsoft account or an Azure AD account. So we've turned on a set of what we call baseline policies. Those are in public preview, and that's going to require everybody who's an administrator to have to do an MFA.
Okay.
Right? We're just like, look, we're turning off easy access to administrator accounts. And then we're that when that goes GA, anytime a customer comes in and creates a new tenant, that their admins will be defaulted in. And then for tenants that have no MFA, we'll default them in as well.
I see. right? So that's a sort of progressive rollout of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're going to progressively roll that out. And then we'll start doing the same thing for users as well, right? So you'll get a free basic MFA. Mm-hmm. Now, you won't have to use it every time. What we're going to do is we're using our risk engine, mm-hmm. right? And so the risk engine looks at every login. And if it looks unusual, mm-hmm. right, then we're going to force you to do an MFA. If it doesn't look unusual, we're just going to let you go.
Oh, okay. That's cool. So like if you show up at a different location or the new device or a new browser,
yeah, that's
like
right.
That.
That's
okay.
The times you want to do that.
Okay.
Right on.
And then the third piece we announced is a whole bunch of work we're doing with a group called the FIDO Board. Mm-hmm. So the FIDO Board is you can think of it like an open standards group. It's hundreds of companies, and we've all been working together to design a secure passwordless authentication standard mm-hmm. that you can use across devices and apps.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're involved in that. Google's involved in that. PayPal, Bank of America, Yubico, a whole ton of technology companies. Mm-hmm. And we've been working on this for almost 4 years. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the public standards have finally gotten to the point in the WC3 where the key one, which is called WebAuthn, is done. Mm-hmm. Right. And now the browsers are all picking that up. We picked it up in the Windows Insider builds this summer.
Nice.
Right? And then for the fall release of Windows, you'll be able to get you've seen like a YubiKey.
Yeah, the little keys.
The little keys, yeah. There's about 40 vendors making different forms of them.
Okay.
So there's ones that look like a ring, and there's ones that look like badges, and there's ones with fingerprint readers and stuff. So all of those will work, and you'll be able to use that to secure your Microsoft account.
I see.
Right? So we try this where we bring it to the consumer account first, because we can learn a lot there and be a little more daring.
Yeah.
Right? People don't complain because they like to try new things.
Right.
And then we bring it to the admin and kind of the business accounts after that. So then in January, we'll turn on a public preview of that for Azure AD for business accounts.
Oh, yeah, I feel like I've been missing out on easy authentication because I'm a regular watch user.
Yeah.
Right? And I see my colleagues and they'll sit there now and go like, bleep, and they're in. Right? But I would like to put a finger on a little token or something or have one in my computer and just tap it and I go. That'd be nice.
Well, it's especially great for, obviously Windows Hello, right? That's awesome because you just get in.
Right.
But especially in businesses where, like, they have kiosk workers, they need to use multiple machines, or maybe you have a call center, or people, need to use maybe like a cash register, or a lot of places you've gone, like if you go to check in at a restaurant these days, right, they always have like a kiosk there that they check you in with, right?
Right.
All of those are really great scenarios for those FIDO tokens, right? Because then you can walk up to any Windows 10 PC, plug it in, and immediately get a secure authentication.
Right.
So it's faster. It's way faster than typing stuff in, more secure, and it's portable.
Gotcha. I guess the big question is, are we going to hit Star Trek, where it's all retina scans and you don't even have to worry about any of this stuff?
No, I'm kidding. Your health device sitting on your laptop.
Probably, but for now, I'm just happy if we can get your fingerprint working.
I'll take it.
So you guys have also done a lot of stuff around enterprise like governance and management and stuff. Right?
Yeah.
I saw like an announcement around the entitlement management, around MyAccess. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so what's happened is as larger and larger customers have started using Azure Active Directory, like this week we featured Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
So Walmart's a big Azure Active Directory premium customer. They have 2.5 million employees, and they're using it with thousands and thousands of applications, right? So for a company that big, you have to think about their poor IT team, right? Like, they don't know which user should be able to access which application in what role. Like, that's knowledge that lives out in their business groups.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that, right? But they're held accountable for making sure it's done right.
Right.
Right. So what we're doing is we're building a governance module. And what a governance module does is it lets you say, okay, this package of applications is available for people who do this kind of job or work in this kind of location or whatever. And so when they come into the system and log in the first time, they'll just, on the MyAccess page, they'll get the ability to see the different application packages that are made available for them, request that, but then the choice about whether they should have access or not will actually be approved by some local manager.
Gotcha.
So it's, maybe it's your business manager, or it's an HR manager, or it's actually your manager in the store or something like that, right? They're the ones who know should you actually have access.
Right.
Right. So then you've got a nice workflow to approve your access, but in addition, you can put conditions on it. So, like, how often do you have to basically attest that, yeah, that person still works here. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you've invited someone with our B2B, like maybe we've got a contractor. You've invited in, they're working on a project that's going to go 6 months. So you can set up their app packages so they expire at the end of 6 months. Mm-hmm. And if it's not expired, then if it gets to the end of 6 months and it needs to keep going, then the person who sponsored them would have to go in and reapprove their access.
Makes sense. That's right. Cool.
So it's a really nice way to kind of get a good method in place so that IT can see what's happening and report to your auditors that you're doing the right thing for these big, huge distributed businesses where really the knowledge about what people should have access to, when, and how the business is working live out in the business groups.
And it can be automated to a certain degree as well, right? You're saying you go to a lot of companies, you see, can you go talk to Shelley or Bob or whoever to give you access to something, and then...
Yeah, and it just gets rid of the need for that,
right? Yeah.
Just go to myaccess.microsoft.com, and you'll be able to see all the things that you have the option for. Hmm. And some of them are things we call them birthrights, right? So if you have birthright packages, that just means when you first came into the company, you always get them.
I see.
Right? So like your email and your SharePoint site and your OneDrive might be, and probably access to the HR apps.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Right? Like that'll be your birthright.
Yeah.
Right? And then they'll show you additional things there that you know. So if you're in a sales job, you need access to the CRM system? Okay, click here. You'll get all of the sales and marketing tools, and someone who's your manager has to approve that.
Something that needs eyes on to make sure that, yes, that's okay. Whereas the other one's like going, yeah, if you're in the organization, you need these things. You need access to our teams. You need stuff, access to those things.
It gives you the ability to automate that whole process, mm-hmm. right? But to do so in a way that you've got nice controls and you know that you clean up afterward mm-hmm. instead of just ending up with a 1,000 unknown identities with all kinds of things they have access to in your directory, and the poor directory guy is like,
yeah, I work really closely with.
I don't know Bob. What does Bob do? Right? There's no way he'll ever know if that's what he should do about that.
Sure. Yeah.
No, it's the sprawl of old accounts and old memberships to things. Just seems prolific, right? And anything we can do to try tighten that up and keep it more secure is great.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing if your auditors want, but let's be honest, your customers want, because they want to know that, especially in a world of GDPR,
right?
You've got to know that you haven't got people with inappropriate access to data.
Yeah.
Right? You got to be able to prove that to your auditors. So anyway, so that's a new capability. We've been working on it for almost 2 years. And then we have it in private preview with a bunch of customers now. And then in January, we'll turn on the public preview.
Okay, so Jan will be able to hit My Access website. Yep. Okay, perfect.
And one of the things that seemed that was kind of tied into at least this concept, maybe not the tech itself, was around the improvements that you did this time or building off the announcements you made at last Ignite around conditional access and like the zero trust, where I think last year we talked about how you could do conditional access, give people access to things based on location or region or something like that. But then you guys went further with that this time at Ignite.
Yeah. So as I talk to customers, I'm seeing this more and more, and I love it, right? Which is people are starting to realize that your devices, you really should probably never trust,
mm-hmm.
right? Like your Android devices, your iPhones, even your Windows devices, mm-hmm. look, just kick them off your network,
mm-hmm.
right? And pretend like they are always coming in for the internet,
mm-hmm.
right? And that way you're in a posture where you're always essentially ready to know that you have to defend yourself from the bad guys,
yep.
and you should only let the good guys in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we know, so we were talking earlier about passwords, right? Mm-hmm. So a typical attack on an enterprise goes like this. I either phished a password or I ran a dictionary attack,
mm-hmm.
right? In a dictionary attack, they're just trying account after account with common passwords,
sure.
right? And I finally find one that's good, right? And the first thing that happens is that username and password gets handed off to a high-skill hacker,
mm-hmm.
and that high-skill hacker then goes for your VPN, mm-hmm. right? Because everybody forgets your VPN just lets them into the corporate network.
Right?
Like now I'm sitting on a wide open corporate network. I can bring in and install all my tools.
Yeah.
I can spread across multiple desktops and servers. And now we got a battle on our hands, right? Like you're going to work forever to get me out.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So really, we got to get passwordless and multi-factor authentication to protect your password. And then we got to find a way to get rid of the VPNs,
mm-hmm.
right? And that approach is, in the industry, it's now generally talked about as a zero trust network, right? Where essentially you say, look, I kick everything except for my applications, my core server apps,
right.
off of the network, right? And I treat them like they're coming in from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to have a really smart conditional access system like we have. Now, we've always referred to this as conditional access, right? The idea that as you try to get access to an application, we're going to look at all the things we know about your identity, right? We know a lot. We know, obviously, what department you work in. We know what kind of authentication you did. We know where in the world you usually come from.
Mm-hmm.
We know which department you work in. We know what device you're on. We can tell if the device is managed by Intune and if it's in a good state.
Mm-hmm.
We can tell if it's a Windows 10 device, is Windows Defender ATP saying it's clean or not,
mm-hmm.
right? We can look at the IP address you're coming from. Are you inside the corporate network, outside the corporate network? Like, there's just all of this information that we can use to help you make a smart choice about should this person in this situation be able to get to that application. Right, so this time we've added a whole bunch of new capabilities, right? Mm-hmm. So the first thing we did was we added the ability to dictate all of these rules, not just by all those things I talked about, but also by the type of role the person has. So for instance, if you're an administrator, right, I might want to have a lot stricter rules for you. We see this all the time. If you're an Azure administrator and you can do a lot of stuff, I want much stricter rules for you than if you're just a normal employee trying to get to email.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
And in addition, I want much stricter rules, for instance, if you're on a non-managed device, right? So if you're on a non-managed device trying to get to a very important SharePoint site.
Right.
I certainly don't want to let you synchronize documents from that SharePoint site locally.
Or share them or print them.
Or share them or print them or anything like that. So then we can put you into restricted mode. Right, so I'm on my home PC. I need to check a document to figure something out. Well, in restricted mode, I can get it up in the browser and I can read it and all that, but I can't download it, I can't print it, I can't send it on to somebody else.
Right.
So that we announced at the last Ignite. And then this year, what we've announced is that now you can do it with OAuth. So with Outlook Web Access, you can have restricted mode.
Right.
And then the SharePoint team has gone even further. And so in SharePoint, you can now tag a document collection. Right, so if you're using the DLP system, you can tag a document collection as being like, you know,
sensitive or
top secret or whatever, and then that will point back to a specific conditional access rule. So you could have like a high security conditional access rule that someone has to pass before they can open a high sensitivity document.
That's pretty cool.
Super nice. So OAuth is going to be new to that family. Is that that's what you were mentioning that? So maybe I won't be able to send mail from home at 2 a.m. Or
Well, most of what you're trying to do is keep it inside your corporate boundary.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Your boundary extends out to the cloud now, but you want to make sure it's in a secure environment. So, for instance, if I open up an OAuth mail and it's got an attachment in it, when I try to download the attachment, there's no download. There's save it to my OneDrive.
Gotcha.
I see. Because my OneDrive is inside my corporate boundaries. That's safe, right? But there's no way for me to like download it locally or copy paste it off to someplace else.
Gotcha.
Right. So it's a really nice solution to give people great productivity, but lower the risk as appropriate given the situation that they're in.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. There would be a feature request, though. I would love something that blocks me from doing email at 2 a.m. That would be really nice.
Actually, we do have that.
You got to blow a good test before you send mail. That should prevent
you from sending that mail you didn't want to
send.
Correct. A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery from individual items to entire team sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com. Inbox Zero is a thing of the past. We're also inundated with email, and that's where Samebox comes in. Think of it as an EMT for your email. As messages flow in, Samebox does the triage for you. Sane later sifts through all the distracting stuff out of your inbox so that you can focus only on the important emails. And that's just a taste. It also has nifty features like the Sane Black Hole and Sane Reminders. And best of all, you can use Sanebox with any email client or phone anywhere you check your email. See how Sanebox can magically remove distractions from your inbox with a free 2-week trial. Visit sanebox.com/mscloudshow today to start your free trial and get a $25 credit.
Yeah. Hey, another thing that we talked about. I'd love to talk a little bit about the topic that actually got you on the show, and a little bit about the future of the
Microsoft developer story, right?
Yeah. So yeah. we've had ADAL for a while. We've got MSAL is the new style of authentication we're going, and I know it's been a work in progress for a little while. Where can we look forward to that? Where are we going with MSAL going forward?
So, first of all, let me just come clean and say, look, the current model is kind of messy.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So you've got 3 different application portals, because who doesn't want more portals?
Yeah.
Right? So you've got, exactly.
It's supposed to be a portal, isn't it?
Yeah. No, but everyone wants more portals. So we have a portal in Azure, right? And in that one, you can see a certain class of applications.
Yes.
Right? Yep. And then we have what we call the ARP, but that's the external application portal on Microsoft.com, right? And so you can see a different class of applications there. And then we have a third portal inside of Azure for B2C applications.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So the first thing we're doing is we're bringing all those together into one consolidated
Very nice.
Place. You'll be able to register all your apps. You'll be able to see them all there. All the different kinds of apps, right?
In the Azure portal.
In the Azure portal.
Okay.
Right. So you'll have one place in the Azure portal. You can see all of the different kinds of applications and all the things you need to do to register an app.
Okay.
Right. That'll go into a public preview in about 3 weeks.
Oh, really nice.
Yes.
Soon.
So that's soon. Now, go down a layer from that. The next thing we're talking about is the authentication libraries, right? Yep. So today we have the ADAL library and we have the MSAL library, right?
Right.
So just to be clear, MSAL is the future, right?
Right?
And we've just updated the JavaScript version of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's now at the stage where we are code complete and we really just want people to go in and take a look at it,
mm-hmm.
give us feedback, see if we missed anything.
Okay.
Right? And that, the nice thing about that library is I can use it to write apps for Microsoft Account, for Azure AD, and for our B2C, Azure AD B2C.
Converged auth.
Kind yeah, of the converged auth, right?
Right. Yep.
So now I no longer have to have a different libraries and different ways to talk to the three systems, right? So that's a nice simplification. Now for developers who have used ADAL, mm-hmm. I don't want to scare anybody. It continues to be supported.
Mm-hmm.
You can register ADAL-based apps in the portal. Like mm-hmm. those will all still work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that MSAL is the go forward.
Yep.
So you'll have the choice over time of when you choose to get to make the migration. We're not like forcing anybody to.
Mm-hmm.
But MSAL is definitely a simpler developer experience, and it gives you access to a much broader audience.
It really does. I mean, and it's got a superset of what you can do in ADAL.
Yeah.
But it also ADAL is a totally different style. It was all like the V1 stuff, and now we've got the V2 with MSAL, and it's been tough in the last couple months or couple years in trying to when you sit down to build an app, and it's like it's not a hard decision on which way you're going to go because you kind of self-select yourself into it. It's like, what do you want to do? I want to do this. Well, you kind of have to go in this direction. You're going to have to go V2. You're going to have to go.
Yeah.
MSAL, or no, I want to do this. Like, well, you have to go ADAL. You have to go V1. That's cool that it's coming together. Can you share any kind of like a time frame when people can expect to see like going into like a
yeah,
more of a
sure.
GA for MSAL
yeah.
and all that?
Well, so then let's go down one more layer, right?
Okay.
So then there's the converged endpoint.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So that's the next piece is now you've got one endpoint to talk to. It'll give you the same token formats, the same tokens that you from all of those underlying services.
Okay.
Right? So you don't have to worry about, do I need a V1 token versus a V2 token? And can I use it with the graph or the AD graph or whatever? That's all. We're just, the V2 endpoint will take care of all that for you. So you get one nice consolidated experience there.
Okay.
So we refer to all of those as our new identity developer platform, right? So that's been all cleaned up. Our goal is to get that all of the pieces of it, including the Android, iOS, and .NET libraries into public preview, and the new portal and the new endpoint, all of that will be in public preview in January. That's our goal.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
And then our goal, obviously, is to have it all in GA by build.
Cool.
Very nice. It does feel like there's been a bunch of dependencies, including other services at Microsoft that you don't run and own, but has meant that we've ended up having to decide between V1 and V2.
Yeah.
And it's sort of become a set of dependencies that are slowly coming together into fruition where you'll be able to say, V2 is the only way you need to worry about. And we can turn off all those old docs and libraries, and people don't have to be confused anymore.
Yeah.
And your developer path will be much simpler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, Jimmy. I know that some people have been impatient, but I get how complicated the problem is. I mean, how complicated the challenge is between having, the older style and having the more standards-based style of OAuth and everything, and bringing everything together, plus two different stores of identities between MSA and Azure AD. I mean, it's a huge task to do with all the people who take a dependency on you guys, the dependencies that you have to take, and the dependencies that people have to take on you. So it's not it's like moving a giant cruise liner through like a river. It's not easy, I'm sure.
Yes. It's been quite an undertaking.
Yeah.
Especially as, like you were saying, we really wanted to get well aligned with the modern standards, right?
Yep.
And the ADAL model, while it does a lot of things, does have some peculiarities that differ from the standards in it, right? So we had to get to the new clean model. That took a lot of work internally because some of the reason there were weird things in the model was because we had some weird things in the back end system, right?
Yep.
Right.
So it's not just that we had to change the kind of a surface wrapper. We actually had to go do some excavation work on the back end, especially like, as you think about like things like scopes.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Like our model for handling scopes in ADAL was pretty far away from the standard, and now we're exactly lined up with
it. Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. I mean, I've had a chance to play with the private preview of the new portal experience for the V2 apps and everything.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Love it. So much better than what
glad
it was
before. To hear it. That's awesome.
Like it's so much more than the art portal or the app registration
app portal. Registration portal, yes.
And the old V1 style. I mean, it's so much better. And one of the other things too, I remember sitting in a couple meetings and a couple feedback sessions with the identity group and some of the people that are on the team, they always ask, you know, what do you want? What do you want in the new portal, or what do you want in the new experience? And it was something that was talked about earlier today in a session. I saw it in the blog post earlier today. This is all news to me, was that now, like, all of the audit logs and all the activity stuff from apps and from users, we can now pull that out. I was asking for it in the portal, but you guys went straight to log analytics with this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That is tremendous.
I think that's a better way to do it, right?
Oh, it makes a lot more sense.
Some other, well, so first of all, let me just say, we talk about this in the team as visibility.
Yeah.
Right? We want to be transparent. We want to give people tremendous visibility. We think that's a great way to earn trust, right? Which is if we can show you every single action that the service took on your behalf, right, then you can analyze it and go, oh, it's actually doing what I want it to do.
Right.
Right. So that's the key thing. So we're producing much, much richer log files. Mm-hmm. Like if you go in and look today, you can see, for instance, in identity protection, we're showing you way more about, okay, who was the user? Where did they come from? What device were they on? And what risk score did they get? You can see in conditional access exactly which conditional access policy fired and if it was successful or not. Right. You can see the correlation IDs. So if, for instance, a user ran into a problem or you're an app developer and you couldn't get it to work, it's the same correlation ID there as in the service now. And so you can look and go, what the heck happened?
Yep.
Right. So that kind of transparency we think is really important.
Oh, yeah.
But in addition, I didn't want to go write a whole bunch of new tools to give it to you. Right. We just wanted to say, hey, let's make sure it works with all the other great Azure log stuff.
Right.
Right. So, we've just gone straight to log analytics.
Well, it's nice, too, because you don't have to. It's one of the nice parts about Azure is you guys can reuse some of the existing services that are already there. It's just like, well, we've already got a way to view logs. Doesn't make sense to go view them inside of a portal. Let's go make or inside of the Azure AD part of the portal, or at least surface the stuff from Log Analytics. Let that team that's doing the really great things there and their integration, if you want to slice and dice it with Power BI and stuff like that, you can go as far as you want with that stuff. That was really
cool. I think it's
cool.
A real win-win, right?
Like,
customers and developers get a more integrated experience, that team is doing some awesome innovation, and I get to put developers on other things. Across the board, it's all good.
A buddy of mine was in the session today, and he was listening to it going, and he's like, my God, they're actually doing this. I'm like, wait a minute, that was already there. And he's like, no, they're doing this. I'm like, wait, really? We were like texting back and forth. There were some words that were exchanged in there, like a holy, I can't repeat that. But it was like, that's awesome. So it was really, it's really
cool. Oh, well, cool. Thanks for the feedback.
Yeah. Really good feedback.
Hey, so not to put you on the spot, a couple of pet peeves and features.
Yes, please.
That I think our audience will be super interested in. As developers and IT pros, often we're dealing with different customers, different tenants, for example, different things like that. Any thoughts on profile switching without signing out? Do you get that much?
Did you look at the Azure portal recently?
No.
Oh, I did see. I did see some. Leon had a blog post today about that.
So if you go look at the Azure portal,
cool.
You might find that there's a new account switcher up in the upper right hand corner.
I promise I wasn't told about this. This wasn't a gimme. I thought this was a difficult question.
We call that thing the me control. The Azure portal is the first place to get it. We've been working. It's a big lift across the whole company.
I bet.
Right?
I bet.
But Azure portal will be the first place to get it. You'll see it popping up in a lot of other services as well going forward.
Team standing in line right behind that, please?
There's a bunch of. Well, the team has a hard job, right? Team has a big hard job because their app essentially has to rebuild itself when you switch tenants.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. For some of the other apps, it's a little bit easier. But you'll start to see it in a lot of the developer tools. You'll start to see it showing up on the Microsoft.com sites. And if you think about like. Accounts.microsoft.com and the places where you manage your identities, that you'll start seeing it showing up there. And then the Office team is also starting to work on how will it show up in the Office portals.
Yeah, there's only so many Chrome profiles and incognito windows and all that sort of stuff that I can cope with. So our audience...
I know every browser cookie clearing check there was. Because to demo this stuff especially, man, it's just really hard. But the account switcher, the me control officially, we've been working on it for a long time. I'm really excited.
That's
the team
really, really exciting.
Come with a feature that I wanted. You got yours pretty darn fast.
Yeah. That was super nice. Oh, and on to the second one. So we talked about V1 and V2. Any sort of upgrade plans between... So if I'm a developer building an app and I'm using a V1 app, right? I'll say, for argument's sake, just hypothetically say me. I've got a bunch of them. And we've authenticated and consented a bunch of people to those apps and those scopes and things.
Yeah.
And for us to move to V2, sorry, for this hypothetical person to move to V2.
Asking for a friend. Asking for a friend.
Then, you know, we've got to reconsent them. We've got to, you know, we've got a bunch of different scopes and all that sort of stuff. Is there any pain around, I imagine you hit this with a ton of enterprise customers as well as ISVs where they've invested in V1, they want to move to V2 for, you know, dynamic consent and all the other goodness you get with V2.
Yeah.
Any plans to, you know, magic button?
One of the, well, rather than magic button, the approach we're taking is to let you continue to request V1 tokens at the existing scopes.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Right? So you can use, you can write a V2 app and still be able to go back and use the V1 scope model.
Gotcha.
Oh, really?
And then over time, so we just want to make sure you don't have to tackle that all at once.
Yes, I see.
As one big upgrade. And then over time, you can clean that up and go to more modern
sort
ones.
Of move people over as you go.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Very cool. Those are the only weird features I've got.
Wow, not even stumped. That's awesome.
So now I've got one. This might stump you. So we like to ask a question from a lot of our guests. Before we wrap up here, this is always a fun one. So let's say, hypothetically, that you could go away for a week, right?
Oh,
take vacation for a week. Don't have to worry.
Yeah. Please.
Yeah. No, like, it's, and not to say it's a bad thing or a good thing, but no family, no work obligations, none of that stuff. And you just had some tech that you just wanted to go play with.
Yeah.
You just wanted to go dig into. We asked this of a bunch of our different guests that have joined us and stuff, and some people have some really interesting things. I'm really curious to have to hear. But what tech is on your mind that you like to go have some time with?
So I should tell you about my life outside Microsoft, right?
Sure,
so
yeah.
I always joke with people I have three important things in my life. I have my family, I have Microsoft, and I have volleyball.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm a volleyball player, but my big passion is I coach competitive volleyball teams.
Okay.
Right. So like 2 years ago, the U17 girls team I coached finished second in the whole country.
Oh, congratulations. That's awesome.
So we take it very seriously. Like, we're really into volleyball. So about 6 months a year, I barely have time to fit anything in because I love volleyball coaching so much. So the thing I've been dreaming about, okay, how would you make this work? I want to look at how I could take essentially, you know, like AI and vision recognition, right, and have it automatically essentially score the mechanics that the players are using, right? Because you've seen all the things where if you put the little dots on, right, you can check someone's motion. I've obviously, when kids are playing on a court, you can't put little dots on them,
right?
But what I'd like to be able to do is be able to take a video of the team playing,
right,
and then have the vision and AI be able to capture each of the players,
right,
and then basically say, oh, hey, at this point you bent your arms, when you shouldn't, right? So I want to have that kind of, it's both in terms of giving me statistics, right? Like, how did we do? But also, how are we doing in terms of ideal mechanics versus, you know, the mechanics we actually have?
Yeah, you can find little problem spots you're not doing on a certain thing. It's funny you say that. There's a so our family is big in like on the competitive swimming. And similar kind of thing. I had a conversation with a coach about a year or two ago. Same deal. He's like, well, you know what would be really cool is if you could do, he was talking about like a video from the Tesla autopilot and showing how like all the little boxes that were showing up and stuff. And he's like, without outfitting a kid, I want to go through and have them go swim and have cameras underwater that are like running on a rail, watching them and are highlighting of this is, you know, hot spot, not supposed to do this, not supposed to do this, shoulders dipping too deep, stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
that's exactly right. And I think we have pretty good models. Like, we can get people who do it right.
Right.
So we can teach the machine learning system what right looks like.
Right.
Right. And then we just need the system to be able to point out all the times when, ooh, that doesn't look like right.
Right.
Hey, well, it sounds like if this Microsoft gig doesn't work out,
you've
got your startup idea.
Thing. That's right.
Well, we got two verticals we can attack. We'll team up. Awesome. Hey, thank you very much for joining us this week, and we really appreciate it. And you guys are having a great week, it seems, so far. So.
All right. Well, thanks for the time. It's really been awesome to spend the time with you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Alex.
Yeah. Cheers for coming on. Thanks for making the time. AC, we're on tomorrow again at 4 p.m. Eastern. We've got special guest Julia White coming on the show, so we'll ask her about all things Ignite and across Azure and all sorts of stuff.
All Azure-y stuff.
So join us again, 4 o'clock tomorrow. We'll have more shirts on site, more guests, more questions, and a little bit more banter.
Absolutely. Cool. Good to see you then.
Cheers.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word-of-mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3, and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show, or via RSS. At microsoftcloudshow.com. where you'll also find notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter, at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.